The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Now, turn with me now to the book of John. As you can see, we've been spending some time in the book of John, and I'm going to tell you a little reason why in just a moment, but turn with me into the book of John. Today, we're going to read from the book of John, chapter 16. The book of John, chapter 16. We're going to read one verse today, one verse, verse 33. And as I always say, and I encourage you, keep your Bible or your app open to follow along in the text. If nothing else, just check me out. Come on, don't take me for granted. Don't take it for granted. I'm doing the best that I can. The Bible says that we have to rightly divide the word of truth, but be able to, you want to be able to match truth with the truth in the word of God. You also want to be able to have something to take note in, just in case something is said that captures your mind and or pricks your heart. As a matter of fact, I not only want you, as I've encouraged you each week, and I want to thank you for that interaction, I not only want you to take the note down for yourself, but you all talk back to me. You all talk to one another. Join the angels in heaven when they are shouting, holy, 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 back and forth in heaven. Anytime you hear something that touches your heart, give God a high five. Tell him, thank you, Lord. Even if it's just amen. Remember, amen means it is so. All right, if you're ready. John chapter 16, one verse, verse 33. And on today, I'll be reading from the New International Version, or the NIV. Remember, that's a translation. That's all it is. The Bible originally was written in Aramaic, and then it began to be divided between the Hebrew, Old Testament, the Greek, and the New Testament. And then there are translations, but I declare I am in the Word of God. So it may read just a little different than whatever translation you have. A lot of people like to read the NIV, so I'm matching you today. Most people like the King James or the New King James from traditional, but again, I am in the Word of God. John 16:33 from the NIV says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, wait a minute. Watch the text. Watch the text. I'm going to teach this thing, but I need you to see it right now. He says, Jesus is talking here. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Watch this. May, the word may. He says you may have. May is used to show the possibility of a fact. It's applied to those facts which are possible or could be possible. Can I teach in this house? Then he says, in this world you will have, did you catch that? Said you may have peace, show possibility of the fact. But then he says, in this world you will have. Will generally speaks to the future. It's used for saying that you can expect this. Come on, somebody. You can expect an action to be completed before a time in the future. He says, but take heart. Some translations, it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This statement, as you see, I'm got to keep it in the context. This statement is spoken as it is in the shadow of the cross. And the statement is audacious, if you will, because he goes to the cross, not in fear, doom, or gloom, but Jesus goes to the cross as a conqueror. So on this 17th day of May 2020, yes, my goodness, whew, Jesus, still under a stay-at-home order or stay-safe order, even if just partially, as states like here in Ohio, slowly opening up, and in many other states where some of you are from and where some of you are actually tuning in from right now, continuing efforts to try and prevent or at least slow spread of this deadly coronavirus with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. We want to consider the subject, peace is offered, but trouble is promised. Good God Almighty, I'll say it again. Matter of fact, hear it when I say it. I said, peace is offered, write this on in there too. Peace is offered to us, but trouble is promised. Let's make sure to get on one accord. We calling or dialing in from various destinations, from various places, but we still want to be on one accord. So repeat this prayer that we pray each and every Sunday. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me. In Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen. Peace is offered to us, but trouble is promised. Again, the text says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You remember what Job said? Job 14 and 1, he said, man that is born of a woman. I know I got some Bible readers in here. He said, man that is born of a woman. Let me just say this. We talked about this last week. Let's just be clear. There is no other way, come on somebody, for any of us to get here except to be born of a woman. Come on somebody. He says, man or mankind that is born of a woman is of a few days. And those days are full of trouble. In other words, everyone who is born, rich or poor, black or white, young, middle-aged, senior or woman, wait a minute, saved or unsaved, whoever you are going to have trouble in this life. That's a promise, not a might, not an if, nor a maybe. The Bible says you will. Many times, I don't know about you, we ask or we wonder why bad things happen to good people. Come on, somebody, you've asked that question. Even I've had to admit I asked that question. But here's the problem with the question. We ask, why do bad things happen to good people? But we ask it as if we are shocked, come on somebody, at the notion that bad things actually happen. The fact is, bad things happen to everybody. Why then are we surprised when bad things happen to good people? Don't get me wrong. I understand that God is on our side, that God wants to bless his people. But whether you are good people or bad people, come on somebody, we are all just people and we will all face trouble. But then Jesus says in our text, he says, but take heart. He says, he says, be of good cheer. And then you got to ask, say what? Wait a minute now. Take heart. Be of good cheer when I'm in trouble, when I have trouble. Now, look at here. I may not know everything that you have going on. Really, I may not know anything that you have going on or that you're dealing with right now. But we're all dealing with this one common thing, and that's this COVID-19 pandemic. Come on, somebody. And we're also dealing with this quarantine. So let's just be honest. Can we just be honest? It's just us. Come on, somebody. Don't tell nobody. I won't tell anybody if you won't tell anybody. But so let's just be honest. I know it's not just me. But during this season of extended quarantine, it's hard. It's hard not to grow irritable. It's hard not to grow anxious. It's hard not to be discouraged. It's hard not to grow weary, and it's hard to keep a positive attitude. Am I talking to somebody? Amen, huh? I mean, what? The economy is down. Social services are being cut. Jobs are being cut. Major corporations are falling apart up the seams. The stock market is on a downward spiral. People are getting sick and even dying from this coronavirus. Families are in disarray. And even with all of that, it seems like, according to those who we're supposed to be following and listening to, it seems like things are going to get worse before they get better. So then somebody should be asking, because I would if I was listening. So what is the message of hope then, huh? Come on, Pastor King. I mean, you done laid out some stuff that makes me anxious. So what then is the message of hope, especially from this passage today? Well, I'm glad you asked. And it's actually a good question, because if you keep the text in its context, here in the text, we actually have a band of untested disciples who would actually eventually become hated. They'll become pursued, persecuted, falsely condemned, tortured. And actually, at this point in the text, really, they have not even seen bad times compared to what lies ahead. Teach, Holy Ghost. But for the believer in Jesus, hear me today. You see, you and I, we can experience something in the midst of our pain and suffering that the world cannot dare experience. Teach, Holy Ghost. You see, the world can't claim this, but we can, because we can experience joy even in the midst of our crisis. Now, I didn't say we would be happy. Come on, somebody. I said we can experience joy. You see, happiness is contingent upon what's happening. In other words, happy is an emotion. Joy is a state of being. Can I teach in this house? In other words, happy is an emotion, and therefore you don't want to be led by your emotions. We talked about it already. But joy is your state of being. Listen, and that answers a whole lot of questions that you may have, or some folk around you may have. Folk are asking, how can someone who was terminally ill lay in the hospital and sing, "Everything will be all right"? Come on, somebody. How can somebody who's going through the pain of a divorce, the pain of a job loss, the pain of upcoming foreclosure, jump up and shout, "I still have joy"? How can somebody who has lost a loved one or a best friend, a colleague, holler out, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away"? Wait a minute. How can somebody who's hampered by financial conditions, walking around with funny money, strange change, flaky friends, body broken, spirit soured, arthritis attacked, mask wearing because of the COVID-19. How can the world get anybody, I just described all of us right there, dare to stand up and say, "This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long"? Why? Simply because God has enabled us to experience separation in suffering. I just said something right there. I said that God has enabled us to experience separation in suffering. What are you saying, Pastor King? Here's what I'm saying. In other words, you can be in the midst of pain, but you can derive joy even in the midst of your pain. You can be physically hurting, but you can have joy in your soul. You can be mentally exhausted, but you can still have peace of mind. Come on, somebody. And that's the tension of the text. Yeah. Tension of the text as we find Jesus and his disciples. What's happening here is Jesus is completing what I call a pre-Calvary orientation. Teach, Holy Ghost. See, Jesus knows that it's just going to be a few days, few short days, and he's about to be crucified. Then they're going to entomb his body. course, he knows that 3 days later, he's going to rise again. Then after post-resurrection, he's going to sojourn for about 40 days. Can I teach in this house? Then eventually he's going to catch the cloud shuttle and be restored to his rightful place in glory. Problem is these disciples have come from out of the world. They come from out of the world to be followers of Jesus. And so now they are strangers to the world. Why? Because Jesus said, his kingdom is not of this world. They have left all to follow Jesus. Listen, talked to you earlier about the fact that we've been spending some time in John. Here's the reason why. Take this down. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. The book of John actually gives us a clear photo or a clear picture of Jesus' life. Here's what I'm talking about. If you look at John chapters 1 through 12, John chapters 1 through 12 shows us Jesus' public ministry. Then if you get to chapters 13 through 17, that shows us his private ministry with his disciples before the cross. Then when you get to chapters 18 and 19, that presents us to the cross. Then when you get to chapters 20 and 21, that shows us the resurrection and the post-resurrection ministry. See, we just did a jet tour right through John. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But I said, remember that chapters 13 through 17 shows us his private ministry with his disciples before the cross. And so here we are in chapter 16. Chapter 16, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the cross. He knows that when he leaves from this earth, they will be surrounded by Satan's world system. They will be left, watch this, in this world. Now, understand, you got to understand the text here. The world that Jesus is referring to in this interrogative is not the world in the physical sense. Come on, somebody. He's not talking about rocks and the trees and the water and the skies, the seasons and the sun. Come on, somebody. Folks' world get all messed up when the sun doesn't come out. Well, no, when the sun just doesn't shine. He's not talking about that. No, he's talking about this mean, cruel world that is controlled spiritually by Satan. I'm talking about this world that is controlled by the devil himself. Remember, Jesus tells us you are in the world, but not of the world. If you don't think this world is cruel and mean, hear me when I say this. Let me tell you, this world system would turn some strong men into addicted adults. This world will turn some family structures, strong family structures, into fractured families and dysfunction. This world system will convince young innocent girls and even grown women that they have to sell their bodies just to make a living. This world system will call good evil and evil good. In other words, for a believer, this world is not our home. But Jesus gives words in the upper room to prepare us for the worst and yet anticipate the best. Although, hear me today, although he is directly speaking to the disciples, hear me, you and I, we can share in this word. Do me a favor, tell somebody, thank God Jesus spoke to us. Tell somebody, come on somebody, tell somebody, say thank God Jesus spoke to us. As a matter of fact, tell somebody, he's talking to me right now. That's right. Do you know, I'm sure you do, but do you know that there's power available when Jesus speaks, huh? You remember, I'm talking about the Jesus who can say, peace be still, and the winds and waves take a vacation, teach Holy Ghost. Talking about the Jesus who says, come forth, and a dead man will answer from death and turn a funeral after service into a family reunion. I'm talking about the same Jesus who can say, hither, come hither to a watery body and it become an unusual walkway. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the same Jesus who can tell somebody, who can say, somebody touched me. And that someone who reached out for him will agree with him that he's got so much power that just one touch can turn your life around. Talking to somebody who knows that you would have given up a long time ago, but you had a word, just a word to keep you going. I'm talking more than just encouraging words like, it's going to be okay. Talking more than just, it's going to be all right. You can get through this. No, 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 no. I mean, those are nice. I appreciate them, but I'm talking about a word from the Lord. I'm talking to somebody. You were going to quit, but then you heard a word. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody else, you were going to throw a pity party, but then you got a word that said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm talking to somebody else. You were going to lose your mind, but then a word came to you that said he's able to keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I'm talking to somebody else. You were going to throw away, you were going to discard your hope, but then a word came into your spirit that said, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Tell somebody, it took a word. That's why I'm here, because Jesus spoke a word. God Almighty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, I have spoken these things unto you. These things, these matters, these prophecies that in me, in other words, in him, you might have peace. If you're taking notes, write this down, because that's the key. The key here is peace is in him. I don't mean any harm, but it is the truth. I got to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. You can't get peace any other way or by any other method than by him. Listen, I need to tell somebody. I'm talking right to you. I don't know who you are. Listen, don't worry about it. They can't see you, and they can't see what you're doing. But listen, that bottle, you can't find peace in a bottle, that bottle that you keep pulling out every time you think you need some relief in your spirit. Come on, somebody. You can't find peace in them drugs that you're addicted to. I don't care if they prescription, over-the-counter, or a street pharmaceutical. You can't find peace in that pornography that you keep trying to search on your phone, your laptop, or your tablet. You cannot find peace in those poisonous relationships that you are in. As a matter of fact, everything I just described is actually destroying your peace. It's actually making you feel worse, and things are not getting any better. But in him, come on, somebody, in him, in Jesus, in him there is peace, in him there is rest, in him there is quietness, in him there is peace between individuals. In him there is a way that leads to salvation. In him there's insurance of salvation. In him there is tremendous fellowship. In him there is intimate communion. In him there is no failure. In him there is life and life everlasting. In him there is hope and trust. Read a theologian by the name of George Herbert Morrison. Read from him. And he once said that peace is the possession of adequate resources. Good God Almighty. Another writer suggests that peace depends on an appropriate relationships, and spiritual resources depend upon spiritual relationships. In other words, if Christ is the source of encouragement and peace in our lives, then watch this, then the devil is the source of discouragement. That's right. I said it. I said it again. I said if Christ is the source of encouragement, encouragement and peace in our lives, then the devil is the source of discouragement. You see, the devil is continuing to work, and not just work. He ain't just working a little bit of time. He's working overtime. Come on, somebody, to discourage us in this life. And he has, and he will continue to throw everything that he can to cause us to lose sleep, to lose our patience, to lose hope, to lose joy, and wait a minute, even try to get us to lose our sanity. But all I know is this, is that through Jesus Christ, good God Almighty, I have peace. You claim that for yourself. You say, through Jesus Christ, I have, that's a personal pronoun, I have peace. The world is out of control, but I have peace. The crime rate is up, but I have peace. The stock market is crashing, but I have peace. There are wars and rumors of wars, but I have peace. The coronavirus is still spreading, but I have peace. I didn't say I wasn't taking precautions. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You got to wear your mask when they tell you to. You got to wash your hands. You got to social distance. I didn't say I wasn't taking precautions, but I said I have peace. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but God Almighty, take heart, dear heart, I have overcome the world. Talking to somebody just this week who has had pressure all week long. You've got pressure in your family. You've got pressure on your job, or you've got pressure because you lost your job. Come on, somebody. You've got pressure in your checkbook. You've got pressure with your friends and your relatives. You got pressure because of all the effects of COVID-19, of this COVID-19 pandemic, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. But have you discovered that when you live in a pressurized world, I know I have. I've discovered that when you live in a pressurized world, you get a pressurized testimony. I just said something. Come on, somebody. You get a pressurized shout. You get a pressurized dance. You don't care about what others say because you say, I was in the pressure cooker. I felt the pressure, but the Lord made a way somehow. Good God Almighty. He can make a way out of no way. Why? Because in the midst of your tribulation, Jesus doesn't say, go ahead and give up. No, ma'am. No, sir. He doesn't say, well, you did your best, and so you tried. So you go home and you cry all night and all day long. No, Jesus said, be of good cheer. He says, look at here. He says, cheer up. You don't have to look so sad. You don't have to cry all the time. I didn't say not to cry sometime, but not all the time. He said you don't have to drop your head all the time, throw pity parties all the time. He says, cheer up. So as I get ready to close, see, in this passage, Jesus offered his followers peace. He didn't promise peace. He offered peace. He said, you may have peace. So what's the teaching here? The teaching is that a person can follow Jesus yet deny themselves that peace. You see, we gain that peace that Jesus offered by finding it in him. We got too many people still trying to find peace in everything, in everybody, and everywhere, but in Christ. Folk are trying to fall in love, but you can't give what you don't have. You can't give love until you have first received love. You can't even be peaceful until you at first received peace. Listen, you will not find real peace anywhere else other than in Jesus. Remember, during the time that Jesus was speaking, teach this thing, I'm almost through. But you got to understand, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, Judas at the same time was meeting with Jesus' enemies to plot his arrest. Jesus knew that he would be arrested, he would be forsaken, he would be rejected, he would be mocked, he would be humiliated, he would be tortured, and he would be executed before the next day was over. Now, you would think that the disciples should be comforting him. Yet it's Jesus who's offering peace. And not just a little bit of peace, but enough to give others. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart or cheer up. I have overcome the world. And what Jesus is ultimately saying here is that we're not supposed to deny our hurts. We're not supposed to ignore our fears. We're not supposed to dismiss our troubles. No, the pain we feel is real. The troubles that you are in are real. This is not play. No, this is some real stuff. But he says to cheer up. He says, take heart or cheer up. Why should you be so happy or why should you be so cheerful? We should be cheerful because of his pardon. Matthew chapter 9, 1 through 8. He then says, take heart and cheer up because of his power. Matthew chapter 9, 18 through 22. Then he says, take heart and cheer up because of his presence. Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 27. Listen, I mean, if you just need a reason to smile, if you just need a reason to cheer up, if you just need a reason to lift up your bowed down head, you ought to cheer up. Why? Because he has pardoned your sins. If you need a reason to cheer up, you ought to cheer up because he has power, wonder-working power. And if you need a reason to cheer up, because you need to understand that he will never leave you nor forsake you. The text says this was written in the present active imperative voice. So you got to know that means you don't just take heart or cheer up today. You don't just take heart or cheer up right now and you be done for the rest of the day. No, ma'am, no, sir. But this says take heart or cheer up every day. That's the tense that verb is written in. It's the present active imperative. That means it's a command. He says, why? Because I have already overcome situations. Jesus has already overcome and conquered situations. He's already prevailed in situations. He's already gotten the victory over situations. And even with that, you can't miss your opportunity to uplift the name of Jesus and to praise his holy and righteous name. You need to declare right now. Declare right now. I can celebrate because Jesus has conquered some things. Jesus has conquered sickness and disease. He's conquered trouble. He's conquered hatred. He's conquered poverty. He's conquered evil. But most of all, he has conquered death. He's conquered death and the grave. Because on that third day, he got up with all power in his hand. You see, God can transform our sorrows into joy. See, the wonder should not be why we have troubles. The wonder should not be that we even have troubles. But the wonder should be that he gives us peace in the midst of our trouble. No matter what you're going through. Matter of fact, no matter what the problem may be, you can be of good cheer, for he has the victory. The question is, will you accept the offer? For peace is offered, but trouble is promised. Yes, it's offered to you. It's offered to me. It's offered to us. Will you accept? Will you receive that peace? Because you need to know trouble is promised. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to First Baptist Church, WCH.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.